Morning, everybody. It's great to have you guys here this morning. I want us to open up God's Word again. We're going to be looking, as Billy has said, here in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And we are going to be ending up today our theme all through the month of December, which is really about Christmas isn't a Hallmark experience. And it's just bringing to our attention how that so much that was true about Christmas is also true about your life and my life. Christmas was not easy, that first Christmas. It wasn't easy for Joseph. It wasn't easy for Mary. It was difficult. And we have learned so much about following the Lord that following Him at times is a real challenge, and it puts us on our face. But God always has a purpose and a plan. We're in some days right now where we are tired and weary of this that just seemingly will not go away. It doesn't quit. And yet one of the things we know according to the Word is that God has a purpose and a plan in all things, and that God works everything together for our good. And so these are days for you and me to learn to trust Him in a fresh way. And to trust in, and trusting is when you cannot see. You cannot see, but you trust Him. That's real trust. Amen. You're not trusting when you can see. There's no faith when you can see. I only live by faith when I can't see. Faith is the evidence of things what? Not seen. Not seen. And we don't know how God's going to work all this out. But one of the things we know according to Scripture is God will work all of it out, right? Right. Amen. And He'll work it out for you and me. And so while we're quarantined at home, if you get sick, while many of us are staying home so much of the time and we get so tired of those four walls, there is a purpose, there is a plan that God is working. God is working in this world to draw this world to Himself. That is what everything is about. It is about glorifying Christ, and it is about drawing men and women to Himself. We have learned that in all of this COVID epidemic, there are those that are going out into eternity as a judgment. It was their time, and they simply said no and no and no to the Lord. We don't know who those are, but we know that that is the truth. And then there are those who have gone out into eternity who are children of the Lord. They belong to Him. And God told us in Scripture, He said, before you were ever born, I had numbered your days. I come into this world with only so many breaths for my lungs, and then they'll quit breathing. I only have so many heartbeats with this heart God has given me, and then it will stop. My days are numbered from the moment I was created, from the moment in eternity past, God put His love on me and planned me to be in this world. And it may be, and it can be, that during this COVID crisis, this will be my time to go home. But the Lord says, if we walk with Him, if we seek to obey Him, we will live out every day that God has planned for us. That's comforting, don't you agree? It's comforting. And so if God's kids go home during this, then our hope and our assurance is this is God's way of calling them home. We're all going to be called home some way. And then this COVID crisis is, as we said, to teach us to trust Him. To teach us to trust Him. And put our faith and our hope in Him and not in a shot, not in anything else, but in Him, right? That's what we're going to do. So we're going to talk today in God's Word about the Lord's favorites, about God's favorites. And the Lord's got such a message for us in just closing this chapter on Christmas. And I want you to look at the core statement. This is in your life point outline. And the core statement is this: we don't know a lot about the Christmas shepherds individually. We're not told that. We don't know how many there were. We don't know what their ages were. Could have been young, could have been older. But just their presence in the Christmas story tells us a ton about God and how He looks at each of us. And so this thing is about encouraging us in the Lord in the days that you and I are in. And I hope that you'll pray right now the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. Now, let me just kind of do a little bit of encouraging as we get started. I'm going to do something I seldom ever do. I got a couple of jokes for you. You look kind of down in the mouth, and so I'm going to try to lift you up. And then probably when I get through this, you're going to say, you know, preacher, just stick to preaching. Telling jokes is not your forte. I can live with that. Okay, I can live with that. But I thought these were really good. These are not original with me. I wish that they were, but they weren't. So, did you hear that for 2020, production was down at Santa's workshop? Any of you heard that? Some of you said, no, you haven't. Well, many of his workers had to elf-isolate. Oh. Yeah, you can see the direction this is going already, can't you? Did you know that during this Christmas season, Santa's reindeer were allowed to travel on Christmas Eve? Do you know why? It's because they had herd immunity. Right? So they were, you know, they were good. Do you know which Christmas film was 30 years ahead of its time? Home Alone. Right? How many of you watched Home Alone during the Christmas holidays? Any of you? Yeah, I see hands going up all over the place. See? All right. All right, one last one. Thank the Lord, right? Okay. How is the pandemic like your stomach after Christmas? Somebody said so. I'm not sure what it was. Anyway, it'll take decades to flatten the curve. It's probably right, right? You know, you just, you don't have anything else to do but to eat. I do hope that you and yours had a blessed Christmas. You just had a great time in getting together with your family. As we get ready to enter 2021, I want to look one last time, and this is number one in your life point outline. I want us to look, number one, at the Christmas story, all right? Number one is the Christmas story. Now, Luke chapter 2 is an account that we've read, beginning there in verse 8, about the angels of the Lord being sent by God specifically to present themselves before a certain group of people, because that's the way that it happened. It happened that way because that was our Father's plan, okay? And so God sent the angels to appear before shepherds on the hillside. Now, what I want you to understand is that is a hugely important element in the Christmas story. I don't know that I've ever brought this out before, but it is. And here's the insight in your life point outline. It is a significant biblical teaching point that the shepherds learned of the nativity before anybody else. Now, why was God presenting himself to the shepherds? Well, there was an overarching reason, right? There's an overarching reason that he presented himself, he sent the angels to the shepherds. And that is, the Bible says that God took on human form. God became a man in the Lord Jesus Christ for one reason. And the Bible says it was to draw men back to himself. Because every one of us in this building, before we came to faith in Christ, we were away from him. Would you say amen to that? We were away from him. We didn't know him. We were not in relationship to him. And so Christmas is God seeking to call me and you back to himself. That's the message. So every time we get into the Christmas story, we've got to remember, what is the point? The point is God the Father is sending a message to call you and me back to himself, to call us to come to him. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, right? That's the whole reason for Jesus coming, that we would come to him. The name Jesus, you remember, in the Hebrew is the name Yeshua, which we get our English word Joshua, and that, of course, means God saves. And so the whole point of Jesus coming, the whole point of our Lord being here, was in order to save me. And because Jesus came, the Holy Spirit then was able to come into my dormitory room that eventful day, and to convict me of my sin and point me to Christ. Why? Because Jesus had come and had died on the cross for my sins. There would be no coming of the Holy Spirit. There would be none of that in your life or mine if Jesus had not come. Does that make sense? Right. Jesus had to come in order for the Holy Spirit then to come and to draw me and you to himself. But what is significant and what God wants me to learn all over again, and he wants you to learn this Christmas, this is to lift your heart right in the midst of all this COVID mess, right in the midst of all this death and disease, that you and I have a lifted heart. Why? Because God the Father sent angels to announce the Lord Jesus' birth. And the angels were not sent to kings. They were not sent to princes. They were not sent to priests. But first of all, they were sent to, point number two, shepherds. They were sent. That is significant. Don't just let that pass you by. That is a significant thing. I know that perhaps everyone here is familiar with the story of the angels appearing to the shepherd, which Billy just read a little bit ago, who said they were guarding their flocks by night on the hillside. They were doing what shepherds do late at night, right, with their sheep. Now, in the Old Testament, almost everybody was a shepherd. Shepherds were almost the whole population of a town. They had to be, because virtually every family owned some sheep. Now, what that meant was somebody had to be taking care of them. Why? Because sheep wander. A sheep will eat grass and eat, and eventually they just keep following their nose, and they can go over a hillside and be totally out of the sight of the shepherd. And sheep have no sense of direction, and so they can't find their way back. So there has to be a shepherd. Isn't that a beautiful picture of you and me? And so the Lord Jesus is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? And all of those truths. And so virtually every family owned some sheep. So somebody had to be out there shepherding. Now, major Old Testament figures, which is intriguing, were shepherds, at least for a season, because it was their responsibility. Abraham watched over sheep. He was a sheep herder. Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David. When you think about it, all of those guys shepherded sheep. Now, when you get to Luke chapter 2 in the New Testament days, fewer people owned sheep personally. And so shepherding had become more of an outsourced enterprise. Not everybody did it. Only a certain class of people did shepherding, which is interesting. Here's the insight in your outline. People who worked as shepherds in Jesus' day were looked down on. And see, this is one of the things why it is so good to have a book that you can learn about Bible times, to know what was going on so you can begin to put these things together. Now, for you and me, most of the time when we would think about a shepherd, we probably think about some guy that looked kind of, you know, it's kind of quaint. Maybe girls maybe would say he looks kind of cute, you know, because you see him and he's walking along and he's got on kind of a robe thing, maybe with a little hoodie on it and everything. And he's walking with a staff, and it's got that little crook, you know, at the top. Kind of our idea of what a shepherd looks like. In reality, shepherds were anything but cute. Think Angelina County Jail. Shepherding was the lowest of the labor class. Shepherding was the ultimate form in Jesus' day of unskilled labor. Shepherding was a job that was given to kids. It was a job that was given to migrant workers. But it was not a job of distinction. And look at the next insight. If you were a Jewish male and you were a shepherd, it meant that you were a total life failure. So you're getting a picture of these people up on the hillside at night? Biblically, in Jesus' day, these were losers, right? Losers. These are not the people you wanted to be around. Historically, shepherds were the poorest of the poor. They were so denigrated, they could not even testify in a court of law unless somebody of standing would stand up for them and verify what they were saying. And so look at the next insight. Shepherds would never have considered, have been considered as someone with any standing before God. You would have never said, well, God's going to appear to somebody. Now, who do you think it's going to be? Shepherds would have been the last thing that would have ever been mentioned. It just never would have clicked with anybody that the God of the universe would appear to shepherds. These were the people you just didn't look like for something like that to happen. The reality is that these shepherds on the hillside that Christmas night would have told you, if you asked them about how God thought about them, they would have said, God doesn't care that much for us. We're shepherds. And we can translate that right on into you and me. Many of us would say, I don't know that the Lord thinks that much of me because of, and you fill in the blank. Maybe you don't feel worthy because of your life, because of things that you've done, because of thoughts that have been going through your head, because of the challenges that are in your life. And yet the Bible says that God sent the angelic host of his guardian angels to a group of unnamed, illiterate shepherds in an unknown field and an unknown part of Israel. We don't even know where they were. And God sent his angels to them. And what that means, look back at our text at verse 14. The message the angels brought from God was what? Peace on earth to the people with whom God is pleased. Now, peace on earth to those with whom God is well pleased. Based on whom the angels were sent to announce the birth of Christ, then who is it you would assume that God favors? If they're saying this to them, then it is to them that God is sending this message. God sent a message to the shepherds, the total life failures, the men who had nothing to promote themselves before the world, the people that other people in town never looked at, never asked a question. And so he sent this message to the shepherds and to anybody who is like the shepherds. That is a huge part of the Christmas story. Let me just break this down for you. There are three categories of people, I think, that God teaches in the scriptures that the Lord Jesus favors at Christmas time. We just want to end the Christmas story with these. What are those three people? Number one, in your outline, Jesus came for the poor. Jesus came for the poor. God sent the angels, first of all, to the shepherds. And what he was saying was, when they came to the shepherds, God was saying, I see and I care about you. And I want you to know, I came for the poor. And so whoever may be here, whoever may be listening online, one of the first things that God wants us to understand, he says, I want you to hear me. You don't know what my heart is, except I tell you my heart. And God says, what I want to tell you is that the heart of God the Father is, to every poor person, I want to bless you. I want to be your God. I want to take care of you. Now, to me, that's good news. Would you agree with that? Yeah. Right? I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I've told you, I was raised up. I grew up in the backside of a store. Mom and Dad kept me clean. Our home was clean. But I grew up in a four-room house. That's not counting the bathroom. That was my raising. And this is God's message to me. And God says, I see you and I care about you. And I want you to know, above everything else, I sent Christ for the poor. And the message is, I want to bless you. I want to take care of you. Let me give you an insight about poverty, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the truth in your outline. Poverty isn't a sign that God has forsaken you or that your life is second class. The angels came, first of all, to the shepherds. Do you know what that means? What God is saying is, I want you to understand, I want to bless the poor. I want to take care of the poor. And God is saying, you listen to me, I want to do you good in this world. And I want to use you to do good in this world. And I came to give any poor man or woman something better than money. I came to tell you that for all of your life, if you will come to me, I will watch over you. Now, I'll tell you something, rich or poor, that's worth having. That God says day and night, morning or evening, in or out of your house, wherever you are, I will take care of you. Would you say amen to that? And here's the truth in your outline. Jesus taught that the abundant life isn't about houses or land or riches or cars or success. It is about knowing God. That's what the abundant life is. It's knowing Him and being known by Him. When any man or woman, listen, when any man or woman makes peace with God through the cross and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you listen to me, you become the son or daughter of God Almighty. And here's what God is saying in the Word. He says, the moment you become my son or my daughter, I begin working in your life for your good. That's the message that we're to give the world. It doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter how poor you are. When you give your life to Christ, that moment, God says, I begin working for your good. And I will work through you to be a blessing to the world. Every one of us in this building ought to be asking ourselves from day to day, how is God using me to bless this world? How is God using me to be a blessing to Lufkin? Why? Because that's what the Father wants to do. He said, I want to work through you. Whatever you're doing, I want to work through you to be a blessing to people. A lifetime. And in all my years, this is what I've seen God do in the lives of men. And it's Psalm 37, verse 25. This is what I've seen the Father do. And I want you to hear this. Once I was young, and now I'm old. What that means is, for as long as I've been alive, I'm going to tell you what I've seen. Once I was young, now I'm old, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned, nor their children begging for bread. Now listen to me, that's not a name it, claim it verse, right? It's not name it, claim it. That's not what God is saying. God is not promising prosperity to the godly. Rather, God is giving us a general promise of Scripture, and that is that those who follow the Lord, who obey His word, when you do God's plan in handling finances, your life on the whole will be a life that you say, my life is blessed. And it is the general reality of life that the children of the godly do not become professional beggars. I don't know about you, I want to pass that along to both my sons. I wanted both of my sons, I wanted to know that I know that I know that my Father was going to look out for my children. And that because of my walk with Him, that God is saying, one of my promises to you is that your children will not become professional beggars. It doesn't mean they will not have financial challenges, but rather begging will not be a regular part of their life. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Huh? Amen. Mom and Dad, the best hope for a good future is that your children will watch you and they will see in you a genuine love for the Lord your God that is expressed in a life where you day by day continue to put God first. That your kids would be able to say, Mom and Dad are not perfect, but one of the things that I picked up from Mom and Dad growing up in my home was that God was first in their life. The second thing, Jesus came not only for the poor, He came for people with messy lives. This is where a lot of us get in, right? Shepherds were people with troubled lives. Shepherds were people with pasts as a whole. Shepherds were not people who graduated from top of their class in anything. They were not the ones, you know, getting in National Honor Society. People weren't going to shepherds. You didn't go to a shepherd to learn how to handle life problems. That's not, you just wouldn't do that. Here's the insight. Shepherds were people on the whole whose lives had gone off the rails. They were not examples of how to do life. And yet, in our passage, God favored them. These were people who kept messing up in life. These were people who seemingly couldn't get it right. These were people you talk about that you would say, you know, God just ought to turn away from them. They're not getting it. And yet God came to them this Christmas morning. And maybe someone listening here this morning or listening online, you feel that way. Like everyone else gets it together but you. Everybody can get their life together, but me, it's like I always keep messing up. Your life is a mess, your career, your relationships, and maybe like the shepherds, you stay on the edge of groups. Maybe you're in a life group, whatever, but you don't really get in. You don't get in because you don't want other people digging into your life. And what God says, I want you to understand, I favor you. And Jesus says, I have a plan for your life. It is a good plan, and it has a future, and it has a hope. And as an aside, do you remember that one of the names that Isaiah called Jesus by, Isaiah the prophet, said that Jesus would be named Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. And the Hebrew word for counselor is the Hebrew word yaoetz. And it means, listen, it means a reliable guide. Jesus is a reliable guide. It means someone who leads from a position of authority. See, Jesus is not a counselor that you tell him your problems, he just kind of pats you on the head and say, it'll all be better when you die. No, he's not somebody who just says, you know, everything will be okay. That's not the counselor. That Jesus is a counselor who can guide me through dark times. Why? Because the Bible says Jesus is light. And he knows how to get me through dark times. He can guide through problems. Why? Because he's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the beginning and the end. He is the one I can go to because he is the one who knows how to get me through whatever it is that I'm going through. And the truth in your outline, the fact that Jesus is Wonderful Counselor shows you that Jesus came for people with problems. I don't know about you, that's encouraging. Who did the Lord come for? He came for people with problems. Who does that include? Hello, right? Some of the rest of you are lying. You wouldn't hold up your hand. I don't know if you ever put this all together, but every miracle that Jesus ever did in his life, in his ministerial life, started with a problem. Every miracle started with a problem. Jesus never went into a town and just did random magic tricks. The Lord did not just show you that he was God by just levitating off the ground in town. He could have done that. He could have just floated through the air, but he didn't do that. What did Jesus do? The Bible says the Lord Jesus healed blindness. Why? Because people could not see. He cured sickness. Why? Because people were at the point of death with illness. He calmed storms. Why? Because ships were in danger of sinking. The Lord multiplied food. Why? Because people were hungry. Every one of the miracles that the Lord did was to take care of people. And some of us have tried to bear our burdens alone. And as 2021 approaches, what God is simply saying is 2021 is a time for you and I, whatever our difficulty is, to lay them at the counselor's feet and just say, Lord, show me what to do. Lord, show me what to do. Why? Because Jesus is a counselor. Matthew 11:28, the Lord said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. I'll give you rest. Jesus came for those whose lives were messy. And so this morning, you can ask the Lord, Father, I don't know how. My life is in a mess. I don't know which way to turn. Lord, will you show me how to rest in the midst of this mess that my life is in. And then lastly, Jesus came for the forgotten. The Lord comes for the forgotten. Shepherds were a forgotten part of society. And in our Lord's day, if you were the shepherd for a family, it meant you were, for that family, or for whatever reason, a social outcast in Jesus' day. Not in the patriarch's day, but in Jesus' day. So if you were the shepherd in your family, that meant you were the one that the family considered most likely to succeed. That's why you're out taking care of the sheep. And in town, when shepherds would walk through town, it's like they didn't exist. People never listened to them. They never looked at them. But the Bible says God sent the angels to the shepherds. Why? Because God is saying, I favor you. And I'm sure somebody here today feels forgotten at Christmas. You feel forgotten by family or friends. Maybe you're watching a sermon online, and because you don't have any people, you don't have a place to go, and you are by yourself. And so what the Bible is saying, of all the people God could have sent the angelic choir to, God chose the forgotten shepherds. He chose men who were the outcasts of society. He chose men whose lives were a mess. He chose men who did not chase after him because they didn't feel worthy of him. God chose them. And here's the insight. The angels coming that Christmas night was God saying, I see you. And do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, there are so many poor people, so many people who've made so many mistakes in life that when they go through life, they feel like nobody looks at them. Nobody looks at them. Why? Because they're such a failure. You know what God says? God says, when you were in your mother's womb, before she even knew she was pregnant with you, God said, I saw you and I fashioned you according to my plan. I was born to Alpha and Weston Green because it was ordained of God. God ordained my days. God laid out my days. And the Lord watched over me in the good and the bad and the ugly of every day until the time He presented Himself to me and brought me into the kingdom. And God did the same thing for you. Amen? God did that. And God has thought about you more than anyone else on earth. God has more thoughts about you than the sands of the sea. The sands of the sea? Are you kidding me? Do you understand what that's saying? You take a coffee cup and scoop up sand. How much sand pebbles do you have in an average coffee cup? Some of you, okay, mug. In a mug. How many grains of sand do you have? 2 million? 3 million? When's the last time you and I thought 3 million thoughts about anything, let alone about a person? And yet the Bible says that God has thought about you and me like that. That's how often He's thought about us. Psalm 139, verse 7, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. Why do I feel discouraged? Why do the shadows come? Why does my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? For Jesus is my portion. I shouldn't have started singing. My constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow. And what? I know He watches me. He's watching us. Even in these COVID days, He's watching us. And in your outline, the Christian faith isn't a program. It's a person. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. And I want to close with a story. Story is told by this brother about Brennan Manning. And it's in his book entitled The Tenderness of Jesus. I want you to listen to what he says about Brennan. Brennan came from a home. It says Manning was one of 13 children. And one day he was playing in the street. He got thirsty and he came into his house for some water. And it was noon, and his dad had just come from work to have lunch. His dad was sitting at the kitchen table with a neighbor. A door separated the kitchen from the pantry, so his father didn't even know his son was in the house. And Brennan heard the neighbor ask his father, "Joe, there's something I've wanted to ask you for a long time, but if it's too personal, just forget I ever asked." And his dad said, "What's your question?" He said, "Well, you have 13 children. Out of all of them, is there one that's your favorite? One you love more than all the others?" "Oh, you're asking about my favorite. Well, that's my 23-year-old, Peter. His fiance just broke off their engagement. But you see, the one I really love the most is little Michael. He's totally uncoordinated and terrible in any sport he tries to play. And the other kids on the street always make fun of him. But of course, the apple of my eye is Susan. She's only 24. Susan's living in her own apartment and developing a drug problem. But I guess of all the kids," and the professor said, and then Brennan's father went on mentioning each of his 13 children by name. The professor ended the story by saying, "What I learned that day was that the one my father loved the most was the one who needed him most at that time." And that's the way the love of God the Father is. I know that Christmas, this Christmas, you know that God, the God who is God. And that God very much wants you to know that He loves you and He cares for you. And in all of this that we're going through, the Father says, "I've got a plan. And I want you to trust me. I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And this morning as you leave, we're in the midst of unprecedented times. But as we go back out into this world, I want you to go out in this world with hope and joy in your heart, because there is only one God in heaven, and that is the Lord. And He said, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. And I love all my kids. There's none I love more than I love another. And when I am closest to you, it's when you're going through difficulty and heartache and trouble, because I am a God for all of that." Let's stand together, would you please? Our ushers will be at the doors to receive your offering this morning as leaving. Thank you for being faithful in your giving week in and week out. You've blessed me so much. And I want you to be in prayer for next week as we start the new year. Remember, we won't be having our Lord's Supper on New Year's Eve. And so celebrate that at home with your family and your friends. So, Father, thank you this morning for the work of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for this wonderful message given to us from a story of the shepherds, that you are a God who loves the downtrodden. You're the God who cares for those that nobody looks at or sees. You're the God who came for the least in society, because you love them and you've got a plan. And we're all made and created for a reason and a purpose, and that is to find our place in you. You make life worth living. And we thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for hope and for a future. And we thank you, Lord, that in the midst of all that we're going through in this year, that it has served a purpose. And it has taught us to trust you. It has exercised our muscles of faith that our God is God. And we will be able to look back and see how you led us through these days. May we prove to be faithful to you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless all of you. Happy New Year.